our Reverend Emeritus, Reverend Beth Monteith. Could you give her a really warm...
We can't thank you enough. Beautiful gifts to all. So we're going to begin now. Excuse my slow recovery from this cold, but we're going to pray together. So become comfortable in your chairs. And let's take three nice, relaxing breaths with audible on our exhalation together. Let's remember together that divine oneness called by many names is everywhere present. Always, that energy and being of God fills this space and all spaces, always fills our bodies, our homes, our cars, wherever we drive. All countries and continents, all people. In knowing that, in choosing to remember that fact, we can experience a world of interesting learning. We can experience a life of no fear. We can see each other as innocent and whole and beautiful children of the divine, waking up to their divinity. And so as we gather here together, let's just take a moment to consider anything we've carried around today that would prohibit us from allowing the innocence and true being of others to be expressed. Let's intentionally forgive ourselves and all for any misstep, for any action, for any rudeness or exclusion, and choose instead to invite the light of love to fill us. And so we turn to you, our Father, our Mother, our Creator, and our own true self, and say, express freely through me. Love freely through me. Heal through me. I am your expression in this life. This is our prayer. And so it is. I have to turn us back to the fact that I have not lost my notes. When we sang tonight, you have a healing power. And we came to those words, do you believe Christ touched the wind and calmed the angry sea? Do you believe He raised the dead and made the blind to see? Do you believe he walked upon the waters of the sea? When we used to sing that, a lot of us who were raised in more traditional Christian faiths believed that was really believing in Jesus, the guy, you know. Of course he walked on the waters and raised the dead, you know. That's what we were taught, and that's what we said we believed. And I want to remind you of the words that we studied a bit the last time I was here by Emmett Fox, who said that the symbolism of the Bible was that the Virgin Mary in this case, was a person whose consciousness was totally open to and concentrated on God. And the birth that would then occur in that person's life would be the expression of God, which was the child, the innocent Christ child, who symbolically was born in a manger without the pomp and circumstance of the king, but rather of a little innocent being that needed support and safety. And Emmett said that is our work, to have our consciousness so open to expressing the divine that we, in fact, give place for the birth of the child in us. And then it is our work to support it, to appreciate it, to love it into expression. And I just thought it was wonderful that we sang that today, because I don't think I've looked at this song like that before. And it was so in line with what we've been learning, those of us that are studying Emmett. And for a lot of us, there was such that awareness of what he taught was such an uplifting piece of the Christian story, which many of us long ago decided was not about the crucifixion of a man that we had to believe in. I won't go any further on that. We're on Anyway, you get it, right? So, tonight, I wasn't going to say anything like that before I came in. I want to get, I thought, okay, what can I do? When I speak kind of rarely, and so I come in with like some things for you guys to think about and to remind you of. And so I said what I'm going to say tonight are five tips and reminders for spiritual seekers. And these are ideas that I've taken to heart, taught from different directions, and things that I believe will help us on our spiritual path. The first one is, start believing in no coincidence. Know that you're always in the right place at the right time, and whatever happens, there is no such thing as a coincidence. That was supposed to be, that was your experience for that time. Now, some of us know who taught us that. Amalia. Amalia taught us that. And for a lot of us, Amalia was a foundation for our spiritual development. So as soon as you stop believing in coincidence, you will see every strange thing that happens or every whatever that occurs as just perfect for you. Just perfect for you to grow from, just perfect for you to bless, but for sure not a disaster, right? So no more coincidences in your brain. And when people start telling you, oh, I had the most interesting coincidence occur, you say to yourself, or maybe to them, there's no such thing as a coincidence, which is in itself a very helpful spiritual teaching. Okay, that was one. Number two. Our lives reflect our consciousness. Our consciousness is creating our experiences. It is, as you might think about it, it's the projector, and our life is the screen. It's going that way. And what we experience as a group is our group consciousness, is the rules of the group. So when we go and look at a movie and things start, you know, getting kind of scary, we don't ever, I don't think of shooting the screen, right? We don't believe that that is the origination of the issue. If we wanted to stop, if we turn around and look at where it's being projected from. For us in our lives then, whatever is coming up, that is not the issue. That is the screen. We have to come back to our own consciousness and know that if this occurrence is difficult, that there's healing work being called for. So if we keep that idea flowing in us, it will keep us staying home with our work rather than criticizing everybody that didn't do things right, which is, of course, one of our favorite pastimes often. Well, you know, did you see that or hear that or experience that? On this topic, I want to read a little from our Course in Miracles. This is just kind of to help us think about our thoughts, right? I'm not going to read much. This is lesson 16. I have no neutral thoughts. I have no neutral thoughts. This idea is a beginning step in dispelling the belief that your thoughts have no effect. Everything you see is the result of your thoughts. There is no exception to this fact. Thoughts are not big or little, powerful or weak. They are merely true or false. Those which are true create their own likeness. Those which are false make theirs. There is no more self-contradictory concept than that of idle thoughts. What gives rise to the perception of a whole world can hardly be called idle. Every thought you have contributes to truth or to illusion. Either it extends the truth or it multiplies illusions. You can indeed multiply nothing, but you will not extend it by doing so. Just a good reminder, I hope all of you have this book someplace on a shelf in your home, and that's lesson 16. So far, we're not believing in coincidences, and we do know that our consciousness is where we want to do the work, our consciousness. Okay. My first two tips on to number three. Change your consciousness through a continual study. Group study can be most powerful. Join or start a group today. A group which the intention isn't to share ignorance, but to be taught. My recommendations are many in this area. One is a Course in Miracles group that meets weekly or every other week. That's helpful. You've got to keep that group energy sort of like a little campfire. We have to keep feeding it, right? I don't know if anyone, well, maybe we do have a couple people here that ever attended the Course in Miracles group that I led that started at the Unity Church and then moved over to Fellowship upstairs. And it took us, we met weekly, and it took us, yeah, mm-hmm. That was the only place we had upstairs, I think. it took us, 8 years to read the Course in Miracles word for word and discuss, of course. If I'm in a group, it's going to be discussed, right? So we don't like turn pages and everybody walks out. Well, we finished that today. You know, well, why did you read? I don't know, page 17 or 118 or whatever. So other suggestions for groups, from my point of view, are anything by Emily Cady. She's the person that wrote Lessons in Truth, which is the basic textbook of Unity. It's worth reading at least every couple of years. And she also wrote two other kind of supportive books, which was How I Use Truth, which told stories of applying principles, and God, a Present Help, So all those books together aren't this thick, and they're wonderful. Another book that I often recommend, and I give to all the graduates that, you know, like my son's friends when they graduated from high school, is Richard Bach's Illusions. Another, anything by Joel Goldsmith. And when we say those words, we think of our friend Leon, right? Who at 97 passed peacefully at his home after eating his favorite meal and watching his favorite TV show, sitting in his favorite chair, and just in a way that he would do that. In the most peaceful and fulfilling way, he moved on from us. And all of us that knew him know that his teaching was Joel Goldsmith, and he brought it to a lot of us. And Joel's work is phenomenal. And then, of course, Emmett Fox. A lot of us have read Emmett. He has provided the basic spiritual awareness to the 12-step program, and his work is phenomenal. Now I'm going to tell you, if you are encouraged to start a group, and I think a 5-person group is perfect size, personally, I'll help you. I'm here to help you start a group, and I've got a lot of group experience, and I would love to see the fellowship with a lot of groups, reading books together, discussing them, and applying the principles that are being taught, and that makes for a very vibrant and learning community. Number 4, be watchful and aware of all fear thoughts. Ask yourself when you're praying, what am I afraid of? And I think I've told you this story before, but I'll make it short. When I was teaching at Otto Middle School, I had a really interesting small classroom of special kids, and they were a really wild group, and they were fine as long as we were I was right here with them. But if I so much as turned my head or back, these kids would literally start jumping from desk to desk on the desk. I'd never seen anything like it. And so I would, in occasions like that, get a little hostile. And so I kept thinking about this and realized that I was fearful when they were doing that. And I was fearful, not afraid of them, because I could get them to sit down or do whatever. I was fearful that I would be judged as not being an adequate teacher, and I had this great reputation. And I thought that was so interesting. Well, I was studying the Course in Miracles at the time, and I didn't want to have fear, and knew that fear thoughts were absolutely the opposite of where I wanted to be. So I decided that I was going to enlist my students in helping me. So I told them, I put these poster board kind of directions up in front, very few words. But basically, I wanted them, if they saw me getting upset, which meant I was fearful, I wanted them to say to me, Ms. Monteith, there's nothing to fear. So I got my whole class to start watching me and being the first person or as many to remind me that there is nothing to fear. Oh, I think there was another step. I'm not recalling what it was. But basically it was that. Well, and I told them that I wanted to be a good teacher. And when they were acting like that, I wasn't a good teacher anymore, and that made me frightened. And they all got into helping me. So they, as soon as they saw anything like come up, there's nothing to fear. Well, what started happening was they started to do it with one another. So if in the interactions that were going on, they started recognizing fear in themselves and in each other and reached out to remind each other, their teacher and themselves, there was nothing to fear. Well, let's go back for a minute. If we're believing that we live and move and have our being in divine love, called by lots of names, and that we're here to learn, we don't have anything to fear. And most of you know I'm pretty fearless. I mean, I go anywhere I want to go, and I'm the one that camped all the way across Canada by myself in that little pup tent for 3 months. And because wherever you are, God is. And wherever you are, basically on this whole earth, you're in somebody's backyard, and they're not afraid. So why would you be afraid, right? So watch your fear thoughts, challenge them, observe them, and remind yourself there's nothing to fear. And I think in relationships, a lot of times, if we get a little short fused, it's really important to ask ourselves that question, because, you know, we're basically afraid that our partner is a jerk, right? And we get upset by that. So it's good to ask that question of ourselves. And the very last, number five, is to do prayer work every day. Now, to me, what I'm trying to say, what I mean, is move yourself in consciousness into the realm of the divine, that you have no wants, you have no fears, that the spirit of God is with you and within you. I used to work, and I think it was because I was working more with getting all over fear issues, work with the 23rd Psalm, because the 23rd Psalm starts out, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, if the Lord is your shepherd, and the shepherd's who takes care of the sheep, and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have no, wants. Do you guys know the 23rd Psalm?
Yeah.
Good. Let's say it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley and shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest Oh, preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is a lot of perfect statement against fear. Through the whole thing, every single sentence, right? And the thing is not to say it, but to feel it. If the Lord's your shepherd and you have no wants, no wants. That's what everybody's trying to get to, right? So, and the other one in the prayer that I use now for a little different edge is the Lord's Prayer. And that fascinates me. Because it starts, our Father who art in heaven, and what I think that says is our source, which is perfection, all power, all good in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, that kingdom of perfection, come in me. That thy will, not my will, that will be done through me. So, but again, I'm not talking about words here. I'm talking about conceptualizing meaning and feeling it, because that's what prayer truly is. It's feeling. So that's basically it. I'm thrilled to be here and so glad to have this very special evening of your music on mine, and to see all of you. Thank you.